and I'm also teaching the Sunday school lesson here again. It was going to be Brother Aaron filling in for Brother Bob up here, and then he got called on last minute to go to Brother Dutch Scott's to minister, while I was going to be teaching the teenage class. So they're joining us this morning. The teenagers are joining us up here. So I want to kind of cater this lesson partially to the teenagers and then to the adults and kind of make it appropriate for them as well. So just be patient with me. But it's kind of all the same thought that I'm going down here. I've been thinking about thinking, if that makes any sense. Y'all know I drive a truck and I think a lot, meditate a lot. And I've been thinking about thinking and how important it is to meditate on the Word of God and meditate on your decisions in life and the way you go in life. So I kind of had a lesson geared towards the young people for that. And also that was what I was going to be teaching here next in the adult class. So I thought I'd just kind of join them all together and just make a few comments toward the young people and for the young at heart. So let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, pray you bless this little lesson. Lord, let it be a blessing to your people. Father, you know I've studied and prayed and tried to prepare myself for this. I pray you just use my lips to speak and let it be a help to them. I pray in their walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I made the comment last time on my last lesson. We're on that was love lesson I was teaching, number 4, about first love. And I made the comment that good old-fashioned thought goes a long way. You know, we kind of go through life and stumble along and think, I guess, because we're Christians, that God's just going to make everything just happen just exactly right. And we don't really have to think about what we're doing. We just kind of stumble around. But really, he gave us a mind to think. And he wants us to have his mind, the mind of Christ. So it really pays to think. And you young people, I don't see that all that many here, but Harmony, anyway, I don't know, I can't, young at heart. Anyway, maybe they'll hear it later. But to the young people in that age bracket of, you know, 10 to 20 years old in that era, in that part of life, it's a very hard time of life because you're transitioning from childhood to adulthood. There's, yeah, Thomas and Abby too, so. And these two. All right, now they're all appearing for me. All right, I see everybody. So, all right. Y'all are in this a really hard time in life, and it's one part of life I would never want to relive, okay? So I want to encourage y'all to just keep on going because it's not always going to be that way. You're just in a transition from childhood to adulthood, and you're no longer children. You'll never be children again, you know? So that time is gone, but yet you're not a full-fledged adult per se. And you're in this time of life where you have to make all these decisions that will affect the rest of your life. And here you don't have all that much wisdom from life because you haven't lived that much life yet. So you're having to make all of these decisions without necessarily a whole lot of good life wisdom. And so it means you really have to pray and you really have to think and you really have to meditate on your way and what you're doing and why you're doing it and seek godly counsel. There's a lot of people here, older, that have been there that you can seek counsel from, your pastor, ministers, your parents, and so on, before you make these life decisions. Because as Brother Howell Thomas told me years ago, he said, after one of my graduations, high school or college, I don't remember, it was a perfect time for him to tell me, Ryan, think about your decisions today, how they'll affect you in 10 years from now and 20 years from now, not just for the moment. And that affected my decisions. And I won't go into detail about that, but it really changed my course. And I started thinking, Lord, I really want you first. I want to prioritize. So that left off piloting as a career. I said, I don't want to be missing church to fly people to Britain or whatever. I don't want to be an airline pilot anymore. So I kept flying as a hobby and said, I'm going to go with truck driving. Well, I don't want to be an over-the-road driver. It'll take me away from church, away from family. So I'll be a local truck driver. And so it kind of molded me down to where I'm at now, and I'm happy with what I'm doing. Being at church every service, seeing my family every day, driving a truck, which I enjoy, and flying for fun. So you really have to just think about what you're doing and why you're doing it. As far as college, I know it was kind of really pressed on my generation. You have to have an education to make it. Well, yes, in some sense, but make it make sense. If you're going to be a truck driver, you don't have to have a bachelor's degree and whatever, you know. I got an associate's degree, but then I stopped with that because I didn't need any further degree to drive a truck. I said, Mom and Dad, this is what I want to do. I want to drive a truck. This is what I want to do with my life. And they said, okay. So I don't have any regrets about that. But at least, you know, I didn't go $100,000 in a student loan debt to drive a truck, you know. So really think about what you're doing. If you're going to college, make it applicable to what you're going to do. and don't waste a lot of money and time pursuing something that's just not going to magically give you a degree. The history factories are closed, you know. If you're going for a history degree, you're going to have to do something in, like, teaching history. I mean, something that makes that make sense, you know. You're not going to go work at a chicken plant with a history degree. It doesn't make any sense. So good old-fashioned thought goes a long way. And don't be so super spiritual to think that God's going to put a big old flashy billboard in front of you for every decision and just tell you exactly what to do. As much as I would have liked him to do that, he doesn't do that sometimes. He lets us decide. He wants to see what we'll choose. He gave us free moral agency. He wants us to choose him first. Put, you know, our priorities in order. Like Brother John said, write something down, make a plan. If you fail to plan, your plan will fail every time. So he wants us to think and make choices. Philippians 4:8, you know, the scripture, think on these things. Choose you this day who you serve, the scripture says. And set your affections on things above, Colossians 3. Set your affections on things above means there's a choice. It means there's some thought involved and some intention there. Not just, it doesn't just automatically happen. So Brother Michael is doing a tremendous job teaching young people, and I want y'all to really listen to what he's saying. Because at 15, when I was about y'all's age in the Baptist church, I had a youth pastor much like him that was teaching me to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that stuck with me my whole life. That's a lot of reason I started reading the Bible every day at that age. It's a lot of reason that I chose to put Christ in marriage because of him. Brother Michael is teaching y'all to inquire in the temple of the Lord, as David said in Psalm 27. Inquire in his temple. Don't just come to church and sit and listen and then go home. Ask questions. Think while you're here. And think about what was preached when you go home. Okay, it'll take you a long ways in life to do that. Do the homework. You know, a minister stands up here and says, read or listen to XYZ. Write it down and go do that. Brother Michael is impressing on y'all on that doors in door sermon Brother Branham preached. And he had y'all do that quiz, and it was a tough quiz. We helped our girls reviewing and preparing for that. And they made a passing grade, but it wasn't as great as I thought. And I thought, wow, that was a really hard quiz. But he's trying to impress on y'all that you need to let God into your heart, but then let him into every door of your heart. So that goes beyond just salvation. That means opening the door of pride in my private life and all those things like Brother Branham taught. So he's really teaching you to seek first the kingdom of God. So really listen to that. All right. So choice is obviously connected to thinking. And that's why I'm impressing, that's why I'm trying to stress the fact of thinking about what you're doing. Look at things and people and decisions through this love lens. And that, through that, I'm going to try to transition into the adult lesson. I'll have more kids comment, or no, not you're not kids, more comments toward the young adults and throughout the lesson, but that was the majority of it. So Ephesians 5, Paul says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Also, I'm kind of teaching on don't act out of bitterness and hatred and malice and strife. You know, let love be the ruling factor in your life and the way you interact with people and situations and your words and your deeds and everything you do. Run it through this love filter as I'm fixing to get into the filter of love, the Holy Ghost, the Word of God. So choosing of a bride, Brother Branham talking here about decisions. If y'all remember back 2006, the last Alabama camp. A lot of y'all were there. We had that play, and I believe we had Brother Branham quoting this, and it never left my mind since then. It really, really heavily set in with me at that time as I was in that phase of making all these decisions about college, career, and especially marriage. Your eternal destination is a choice, and maybe tonight some of you will make that choice of where you'll spend eternity. Before the service ends tonight, there'll be one time that if you turn down God many times, there'll be one time you'll turn him down the last time. There is a line between mercy and judgment, and it's a dangerous thing for man, woman, boy, girl to step across that line. But there's no return when you step across that deadline. So tonight, it might be the last time that many of you will make their decision where they will spend the endless eternity. There's another choice that we have in life, and that's life's companion. A young man, a young woman stepping out in life has been given a right to make a choice. The young man chooses. The young woman has a right to accept or reject it, but it's still a choice on both sides. Both man and woman have a right to choose. And he goes on to talk about a lot of other things you can choose, but those are a couple of the main things, especially eternal life. Please give your heart to Christ. At a young age, you will spare yourself so much trouble, and he will guide you in all these decisions about marriage and so forth. So this is about love as a choice. Psalm 91, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You put God first. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. He set his love upon me. That's a choice. That takes some thinking and some intention. Set your love upon him. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So the love lesson today, part five, is on love filter. And you may realize that I'm making reference kind of to the Thinking Man's Filter Brother Brandon preached the sermon about. And I believe he quoted that sermon from Ephesians 5. So this is about conforming our desires to the will of the Lord. If you will want what God wants you to want, you'll get what you want. It's kind of like that. I know that's kind of a tongue twister, but set your affections. Say, Lord, just conform my desires to your will. Because there was a time when I wanted a certain way, and God said, that's not what I want for you. And Brother Gary Atkins said, Ryan, if God don't want you to have it, you trust me, you don't want it, no matter how bad you think you want it. Certain things in life you young people may think you want now, but if God don't want you to have it, he knows best. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. This is about marriage as well as Christ and the bride. We, as the bride, submit our ways, our choices, everything we do to our husband, Christ. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. So that's kind of a selfless love. Okay? We put a lot of emphasis in this lesson on selflessness in marriage and in every other interaction we have with people in life. Don't think about yourself so much. And gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So there is that renewing of your mind. There is that filter, thinking man's filter. There is that love filter. Sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word. And that gives us that holy man's taste, Brother Banner said. A holy man's taste is like our appetite. It's no longer for the world. As a this kind of a slow transition, it doesn't happen overnight, but as a slow transition, as you go through this journey, reading the word and praying and seeking God and coming to church, then you start to lose your desires for the things of the world. You know, for a while, you might just have to abstain from it and make a lot of effort, even though you still desire it. Just try to resist the devil, and he will flee from you, but then at some point in time, you won't have that taste anymore. You won't desire those things anymore. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So, looking at everybody and everything in life through that love lens. Did I read that one yet? This is a great mystery, but speak concerning Christ and the church. Yeah. Okay, let's go on. So, the thinking man's filter. Brother Banner said, oh, yes, the word of God is the thinking man's filter. Anyone knows that. That's what your soul is filtered through, the word of God. And it makes, when you come through God, when a thinking man comes through God's filter, it gives him a holy man's taste. Okay. That's right. When you come through God's filter, then your taste is a holy man's taste. It makes a righteous man's taste. The slogan certainly is okay. All right. Thinking man's filter. But down inside of you somewhere, here you come. There was something in there that began to draw. If you note, it was something that told you there was a God somewhere, and you read his word, then you took the church, you took their ideas, and you was told better. Then you never used to think use the thinking man's filter. But when you use God's filter, which is a thinking man's filter, because all of the filters will pass away, but mine shall not. And when you take God's filter and draw your life, your desires, if you draw your desires through God's filter, thinking man's filter, there is nothing left but the Holy Ghost. Now, if you want the evidence of the Holy Ghost, there it is. when that soul of yours will align with the Word of God in every respect, it shows you draw your life through the thing of man's filter, God's filter. Notice, is that God's filter? He said, he was washed by the water of the Word. So I quoted this last time. I took a lot of things out that I don't need to repeat, but I really want to repeat this little quote here. It came from the Life Bible app. It's a devotional that, you know, they quote a lot of devotionals in there from different sources. So, Western culture has shaped our minds to believe that the purpose of the institution of marriage is to make individuals happy. Selfish. People tend to believe that marriage is about finding the right person, a person whose likes and dislikes, hobbies and interests match your own. The dating game. Try this one. Try that one till you find the right one. You know, that's not God's way. That's the world's way. Trying one, trying another. And we tend to believe it's about finding a person who completes us and makes us whole. This results in a me mindset in marriage. We can foolishly enter into a marriage relationship focused on what we think we will get out of it. In Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul tells us that marriage isn't about making ourselves happy. It's about making us holy. Marriage is a picture of how Jesus loves the church and gave himself a sacrifice. We quoted Ephesians 5. Remember, too, when talking about selfishness, about Brother Bob's lesson last Sunday, about all the I wills. I think he said there was five I wills of Lucifer. I will be like the Most High, I'll send to the heaven and so forth. He has his will that he wants done. And every time someone falls away from the Lord, it's always something to do with your own will getting in the way and thinking God's not capable and thinking, well, I need to help him out. I need to help him find me a spouse, so I'm going to try this one and try that one. And I need to help him find me a job, so I'm going to do this and do that. And you just sit back, wait on God, pray, read your Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and watch what he does. Marriage isn't about finding the right person. It's about being the right person. Both husband and wife are called to be the type of people who love unconditionally, forgive continually, serve sacrificially, just like Jesus. Paul calls us to enter into marriage with a ministry mindset. Marriage isn't about what you can get out of the relationship. It's about what you can give to the relationship for God's glory. When you seek to demonstrate love in your marriage, when you're willing to lay down your life for your spouse and serve sacrificially, the gospel is rehearsed daily in your household. Bottom line, marriage is about having a ministry mindset of loving service rather than a selfish mindset. That was from a moment of from the book Strength, Inspiration for Men. So here's an illustration that I thought of the other day, and I think it's a beautiful thing, and I hope there's nothing wrong with it, but just imagine what this looks like to the Lord. So you young people, you grow up, and you come to the age of accountability and you give your heart to the Lord, and that's the best thing you could possibly do. At a young age, 12 years old or so, you give your heart to the Lord. And metaphorically speaking, you've now put yourself up in the lap of Jesus, in his arms. And you're saying, Lord, I want you to guide me. I want you to lead me through every path that I take in life and have your way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And he'll lead you and he'll guide you into all truth and he'll lead you to a spouse in his time and he'll lead you to the right career and college if necessary, whatever else you need to do in life, he'll lead you. And suppose this is a boy and a girl. I can't tell from the picture, but let's just suppose this is a boy and a girl. They're living two separate lives and now they've both committed their lives to Christ. And they've grown up in the Lord and they're serving the Lord. What must that look like to him? He loves that. And they come, back up, read that at the bottom. First, walk with the Lord as a child. That's number one. Establish that as young as you can. Give your heart to Christ and serve him all of your days. And determine in yourself, I'm never, never going to stop seeking God. I'm never going to not serve the Lord for the rest of my life. Now, that's thing number one. Thing number two, then when he brings that special someone to you, then as a couple, you walk with him always. So, like on the right here, that picture of me and Gabby there in Brother Luther's church there, that was me putting the ring on her finger on her wedding day. And you know, when you come to this wedding ceremony, it's so sanctimonious. There's so much symbology of eternity, you know, in our rings, you know, meaning that marriage is until death do you part. It's not a temporary thing. And the Bible there representing, you know, the Word of God, of course, of the Lord there. And then in the church among a cloud of witnesses and at the altar where your life is changed here at the altar and you're taking a new direction in life in so many ways, so many new things opening up to you. And from day one, suppose that those two kids that grew up in the arms of the Lord have now committed themselves to Christ and they both sat there before the Lord every day for their marriage. Can you imagine what that must do to the Lord, what he must think of that? That these two people have served him their whole life now have consecrated themselves to each other, and together they're going to reestablish what was in the Garden of Eden, the original marriage, holy matrimony, not just a joint venture, holy matrimony, not just husband and wife and the Lord walking together in Christ every day, reading the Bible together, praying together, coming to church together, listening to sermons together. And what must he think of that? I think it's a great thing. I think it's one of the best things you can do. The best thing you do in life is give your heart to Christ. I'd say the second best thing is determine to read your Bible every day and pray. But then somewhere down the list, for sure, is establish a marriage for Christ, that you put him in it beyond the wedding day. You come to the altar, sure, and you have all this symbology here for the wedding ceremony, but what about day number two? What if the very night of your wedding, you open the Bible and pray together and read the Bible together, and then the first day of the very next opportunity the doors are open at church, you go to church together, and from there on, you just serve them together. Walk close with the Lord individually and with your spouse. Remove self from marriage. Paul's saying here in 1 Corinthians 7, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried, care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. So you can be more committed to Christ without distraction if you don't get married. But if you're going to get married, he that's married, you know, has other things. He cares for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. He's not saying anything wrong about that. It's just that you can't fully attend on the Lord. Now you've got to attend to your spouse. But you should be thinking about how you can please your spouse too, okay, not yourself. And then likewise, the wife, the unmarried woman, care for the things of the Lord, how she may be holy both in body and spirit. She that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but that for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. The point of quoting that was to say that Paul's pointing out that, you know, husband and wife are committed to each other and not thinking of their own self. So God keeps his word, Brother Brandon said. So children, back to your God quickly, just for time's sake. I'm going to skip down. Just read the yellow. Read your Bible and pray all the time. And the yellow part in here too, from the message of Abraham. And he will reveal to babes such as will believe. If you want to get anything from God, just be a baby, like those pictures I showed you. Be a baby, open up the Bible, fall in love with Jesus. Sit there in his lap and just say, Lord, tell me about you. For the message identification, then will we let his character be in us if we have become sons by having the mind of Christ, which is his character. Your mind takes your character. Let the mind, Paul said, of Christ, this mind that was in Christ be in you. Let the mind of Christ be in you. It molds the character of a son of God. So that's where we get his mind from. I'm going to have to save this for later. This is that Love Dare book. I quoted a time or two before. Well, actually, I will just quote one of them, I guess, while the musicians come. Y'all go ahead and musicians make your way up. This is a devotional that Gabby and I are reading together from the scripture, Romans 13. Don't owe any man anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Love ultimately fulfills every law of God. It persuades us to live out all that is good and forbids us from doing all that is evil. Every act of hatred, subtle deception, a plot of unfaithfulness is vetoed when the love command is in our hearts. Love toward God leads us to obey him, uphold his rightful place of honor in our lives. If we do so, we will by default not sin against his name. Love toward others transforms our behavior for the better and diffuses evil intentions like that, like light dispels darkness. So put on those love glasses. Look at everything through that love lens of the Holy Ghost. Men who lead by love won't deceive or degrade their wives or their neighbors. When love fills a woman's mouth, she encourages her family instead of tearing them down. When you're focused on love, you will naturally demonstrate patience, tenderness, and kindness. Rather than trying to manufacture right actions and attitudes, let love become your first response and your default position. Then you're set to launch into any circumstance graciously into land with no regrets. That's it for today. God bless you. Thank you.